It's 9:32 this Tuesday morning, and time now for the Tuesday Talk Show. If you're, we ask that you hold your questions or calls until after the top of the hour news, but jot that phone number down right now. It's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Welcoming, returning once again to the microphones of KAJO Radio. It's always a pleasure to welcome our Josephine County's Park and Recreation Director, Tamara Martin. Tamara, welcome. Glad to have you here this morning.
Yeah, thank you for the invite. I'm happy to be here.
All right. Well, let's start off this way. Just give me an overview of what's the state of the parks in Josephine County.
Josephine County parks are phenomenal. They are such a joy to be a part of and to really represent our community in such a powerful way. And we are doing some really amazing things out in our county parks. And I think that something just to kind of mention is that when I'm talking about Josephine County parks, I'm talking about the Josephine County owned parks, which we are different than the city parks. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people get that confused, and just to put that out there. So I'm talking about parks like Tom Pierce Park, Indian Mary Park, Lake Selmac, Fish Hatchery Park, Schroeder Park. There's 21 locations that we manage, so there's a lot of them. But
I bet people are surprised to hear there are 21 Josephine County parks.
Yeah.
Everybody can name about four or five. 21?
Yeah. So there's also a variety, because we also manage Granite Hill Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a lot of little properties, and there's also a lot of river access points. So Alameda Park, if you're into rafting at all, that is going to be one of your favorite parks. And NS Park, which is not, you know, set up with full park facilities, but people love to go and spend the day by the river and hang out. And so there's a wide variety of parks that are kind of down in the valley, as we say, or right here near town. And so in the course of this conversation, just want to make it clear. Also, Lake Selmac is one of our Josephine County parks as well. So
you must have to wear a lot of different hats to manage all of those parks, because they're all different.
They are all different. But I tell you what, we have an incredible park team. I am so impressed by the dedication of this group of people. They absolutely love the parks. They love representing the county for the community, and they take such pride and dedication in everything that they do. They're very innovative. They do a lot with very little. And so there's just a really neat dynamic that the parks teams have. And I'm just thoroughly impressed by them on a daily basis.
All right. Tell me about your parks team. First of all, you've got employees.
Yep.
And how many of those? But you rely a lot on volunteers at the parks too, don't you?
We do. I'm going to speak specifically of our ranger team. We have about 7, including leadership and assistants, that are year round. But we also have park hosts that are also year round. And our park hosts are just key to the success of what we do out there, because they really are just there, you know, after hours and throughout the day. And when people are watching, sometimes people are less likely to be bad. And so, you know, they do a really good job at safekeeping our parks and keeping them clean and making sure that the experience that people are having in the parks is what we hope them to have.
Right. Do you have enough hosts right now?
We are always looking for hosts. We, you know, hosts, they'd like to generally are kind of come and go. We have some long-time
hosts. The modern-day nomads, aren't they?
Yeah. We do have some really great long-time hosts as well, though, that have been in the parks for a really quite some time. And so, I would say we're always looking for hosts, just because we've got a lot of properties. So.
Yeah, all right. If I would like to apply to be a host and I've got my RV, how do I go about that?
You can apply online if you just go to our parks website. But what you would generally do is go through an application process, backgrounds, interview process with our staff, and, you know, about finding, you know, what you're looking for. Some of our parks don't have cell signal, and not everybody wants to live without cell signal. And so it's about finding the right person for the right park.
live without cell signal.
I know,
I,
right?
I just flash back to when, well, I'm not going to date anybody here, but I have used a rotary phone.
I have used the rotary phone
okay.
as well.
All right.
Yes, I was in my 20s when the cell phone came out. You know, so it was, it's just kind of one of those things, but you know, the county parks are doing really well. We have a lot of projects that we're working on, some really, some, you know, large projects that are going to be coming our way, including, you know, some renovations out at Pierce Riffle Park. And so there's just, there's a lot of things kind of moving. You know, community might be surprised to know that our county parks do not receive any county general fund. And so all of the projects and the work and the people that you see are being paid by the parking passes and camping fees and grants and things that we can kind of generate out on our own. And so that is something that, you know, when we're talking to people and we explain why there is a parking fee, that's what keeps us going. And so that is really a really kind of important piece when people are talking to us about
that was
parks.
One of my questions here. The parks are self-sufficient here in Josephine County.
They are.
No county dollars go towards that.
No county dollars. And it's you know, it's a task that we take on. And but like I said, that goes back to the parks team. They're innovative. You know, if something's going wrong, they're going to figure out what's the most cost effective way to fix this and fix it right and make it safe and enjoyable for the public. So it's very much a challenge on a pretty regular basis.
So how much of your job is fundraising or looking for grants or significant part?
You worrying about money, yes. yeah, I think
no
that,
ring lines at all.
Yeah. You know, we do a lot of grant work. Grants generally are project specific. You don't get a lot of grants for operations. And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with the different projects and things that might be coming our way. But yeah, we do a lot of, we don't do a lot of fundraising itself, but we do a lot of grant seeking and a lot of just looking for innovative ways that we can get things done without spending money.
All right, let's get a little specific here because I know Whitehorse Park has undergone a significant renovation there, and I don't know if it's complete or not. You bring me up to speed.
Sure. So Whitehorse was a project that was kind of already in the works when I came on board, and it kind of has stalled out a little bit on the upper level renovations. The bids came in far more expensive than was originally anticipated, and so that created a bit of a backlog for us. So we did some renovations on the lower level, what we could do and what we could afford. And we are back in the redesign for that upper level to find a way to, make some renovations, get that back open to the public, but not be so, expensive, number one. And number two, we really wanted to find a way to, utilize the natural layout of the land versus going in and completely renovating it. So I'm hopeful, you know, we're back talking to the grant committee that we received the grant from and, you know, just trying to pitch them some new ideas.
Right, but the lower level still operation and a gorgeous place to go.
Whitehorse is amazing. Mm-hmm. And Whitehorse is the very first county park that we had. And it's a very important park to our history. So there's a lot of really neat things about Whitehorse that we're pretty excited about.
I know personally several photographers go out there for family shoots all the time.
Absolutely.
So that'll tell you exactly what you're looking at when you go out to Whitehorse Park.
Absolutely. It's absolutely gorgeous out there. And over the years, you know, the river used to run right up to the park itself, but the river's changed and
rivers will do that.
They do that. And so you got this buffer of BLM land and it's absolutely gorgeous up there.
All right. No question about that. One other I want to ask about, and because you maintain Granite Hill Cemetery, and that is a very historic cemetery here. Some of those gravestones there go back
1800s.
To the 1800s.
Yeah.
All right. Is the Historical Society involved out there at all in documenting some of those things?
I'm not sure how involved they are, but I know that we have been really pushing towards taking all of those records and getting them digitalized. And so that has been a really long process and task that, you know, one of our team members has been working on for, oh gosh, over a year now, if not longer. But we're really excited because the way that that cemetery is laid out in what we call, additions. And so we have one of those additions open and plot sales can now happen because we have all of those records digitalized. We have surveyed. We know where everybody is at. And in addition, we just went up and took an area and built columbarium walls. So if people are interested in, you know, having a final resting place for ashes, there's an opportunity for that, which we have not had before, as well as a scatter garden. So there have been definitely some work in this last year and a half into Granite Hill, really with the hope that, you know, it can also be self-sustaining, whereas right now it's just kind of a pet project that the parks has to make sure to maintain.
So that's when you've inherited.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there might be a way to, and I'm sure you're after that. I'm surprised that there hasn't been more history buffs involved out there. Yeah, even books written, I would assume.
I would assume. And, you know, every once in a while we will have somebody, especially if they're, you know, doing research on their family lineage around here, it likely goes back into that cemetery. And so there is definitely a lot of history. We're excited about being a part of it and just making sure that we protect it and create a space that 100 years from now, people will be not trying to read our handwriting and know exactly where their loved ones are.
All right. So we'll put that on the list of things to, if nothing else, just to walk through and observe what is going on out there. Is it open all the time?
It is not. Generally, it's open Tuesday through Saturdays. One thing to keep in mind with that, and anytime I've been out there, like there are people out there walking. And I've had multiple people come and go, oh, this is just my favorite place to be, just because it's really gorgeous up in there.
All right. No question about that. Other parks, you mentioned Pierce Riffle.
Yes.
All right. What's going on there?
Pierce Riffle is actually owned by ODFW and managed by Josephine County Parks. And we have been working with them because we really want to expand what that park can be for our community. And so we are putting together a park that is going to be dedicated solely to the veterans of our community. And we are going to be expanding the parking. We want to put in some trails through that park that some will be ADA, some will be just hiking trails. There's beautiful picturesque areas for sitting and reflection, as well as building a shelter and, a memorial. And some of those pieces are still in the design. And we're hoping that probably 26, we will be able to really get into that project. We are in the space right now where we're working on projects now, and we are planning projects 3 to 5 years from now so that we can get into the space where the funding, we've built that flow. So when one ball drops, the next one's right behind it.
All right.
So, but Pierce Riffle is gorgeous. We'd love to have an ADA fishing platform out there.
What's there now and what's coming?
There now is a boat ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some old trail systems through that park, but have just unfortunately overgrown. And so there's really not a whole lot there, but it's a gorgeous natural setting. And, you know, that will be a park that we will put a host in, because once we get in there and really make it something special for the community.
Now, is this a new relationship between the Parks Department and you said what, the Oregon Department of Forestry?
No, this is not. In fact, I had to go searching, you know, to find, I wish I remembered what year it was, but it was typed, so that will date it a little bit. That agreement has been longstanding as far as the county managing that property for ODFW. So anything that we do, we collaborate with them, and they're really excited because it will enhance one, people's access to the river and to their experience while they're there.
All right. Are they sharing in the costs?
We are just now starting to submit for grants. We just put that budget together, and so I will know more next year.
One to watch.
Yes.
So the next time you're here, well, you know what we're going to be asking about.
You please do, because right. I am very excited about this project. I am a military wife, a military mom, and so I understand the struggles that our veterans have gone through, and to be able to be a part of something that gives back to them, I'm all in.
All right. Well, I'm a veteran, but I've not been through very much. I was very lucky. At any rate, tell me about some of the other unique parks, because we've got 21 properties out there.
Yeah.
All right. What else might I not know about? Surprise me here.
Well, I got to say, I think that one of my favorite parks is actually Schroeder Park. Schroeder is great. It's near town. It's got a really great camping experience. It's right along the river. And it's got a variety of the full hookups, partial hookups, tent. It's just a really great space to go and be with a family. It's got a dog park nearby. Like, it really has a lot of those amenities that people would really love. But I think probably one of the lesser known parks that has very quickly become my favorite is actually Fish Hatchery. It's gorgeous hiking through there. It's right along the river, and you know, it's just a beautiful way to spend the day.
All right. Well, I can tell you also just from personal experience that photographers also like Fish Hatchery Park.
Yes.
I was dragged out there by my daughter, but that's
it's a beautiful experience. And we actually really love hearing some feedback. We had gotten some feedback from some trail walkers that there was a little metal grated bridge, and people were having to carry their dogs because the dogs were like, oh, I'm not walking across that. And so, you know, someone let us know, I think probably through social media, and rangers went out and covered that great with some padding so that is more easily accessible for our four-legged friends. So, you know, we want to hear back from our community. We want to be making changes. I know I've got some very vocal people that are like, we want a playground. And I want to get that Griffin Park.
Okay.
And so, you know, but some of those bigger, more expensive things take a little time in just the funding aspect. But we're really trying hard to listen to the community and respond back to them.
All right. Well, goodness. Time is just getting away from here. I have to pay some bills. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. The Parks and Recreation Director, Tamara Martin, is in studio here, and we've been talking about just lots of things. And prior, just before we had to take that commercial break, you mentioned something about let me see, a place where we could ask for more feedback on your parks. Is that through? And you mentioned social media, that, or websites. What? You tell me.
Yeah, so, I mean, social media seems to be the most user-friendly way that people like to, you know, they'll snap a picture and send us a message and say, there's a tree crossing the path, or whatever the case may be. That's, if it's easy for them, then that's fantastic. They, of course, can always call the office. Our staff is happy to hear, see what's going on, and send a ranger out to go take a look at it. So there, you know, we just want to be really responsive. We are so very cognizantly aware that we are stewards of our community here, and these are their parks. And so we want to make sure that they're having the experience that they expect. And honestly, actually, we'd like to exceed that.
All right. Well, noble goals. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about some of the parks specifically. But the jewel of the park system's got to be Indian Mary, does it not?
That's still
the one.
That is, yeah. I mean, you just can't talk about anybody in this community that hasn't been here for a while that does not have a story of Indian Mary Park. It is a gorgeous place to be, and we are definitely blessed to have that a part of our park system. it is one of those places that if you have not been, you need to go check it out.
Put it on the list.
You need to put it on the list. Camping, it's always the park, the campground that fills up first. So we did go back in, I'm going to say it was last year now, and did some upgrades to and created some ADA sites to make it a bit more accessible, some paths. But something that we've been trying to do in all of our parks is to really improve the accessibility of our properties. And so Indian Mary is a really great and beautiful place to spend a weekend.
All right. Well, I know there's access to the river there. There's camping. What else?
We have a small playground for the kids. There's just tons of green space. So if you love to, you know, play for some Frisbee or just, you know, there's plenty. Ride your bikes if you've got the kids and the grandkids. It's a really great and fun place to be. We, you know, I guess speaking of friends, Frisbees, disc golf is something that in our community has really embraced and is having a phenomenal time with. And we have an incredible course at Tom Pierce Park, which is, you know, just right outside of, not barely outside of town. And, they are an active group. They do a really great job with their course, keeping it clean, helping us with that, which is fantastic. They also have regional tournaments in that park. And so there's some really neat opportunities. And a lot of photographers like that park as well.
Now, you said they. Who are they?
Yeah, we have a really active disc golf community here.
Yeah, if we could name names, if they deserve a pat on the back.
Well, now this is where I'm going to fail.
Oh, no.
I don't name names, and mainly because I know I'm going to forget somebody. So I don't want to do that. But what I will say is that if you go out to Tom Pierce and you are having a great time on that disc golf course, it is volunteers that have made that happen. And they're dedicated. They're excited about what they're doing. We also have a course out at Lake Selmac. And so there's a lot of really fun opportunities to go out there and practice your skill if you are a disc golfer.
I have been out there on that course. My skills are could use some practice.
Yeah, mine too. Not much better than my regular golf game, to be honest.
Yeah, I can slice those too. Anyway, we've got down to our last couple of minutes here. Are there really jewels out there that are unknown that people are really about to discover of those 21 different parks?
I would say if you have an activity that you like, say if it's hiking, then feel free even to give us a call and say, which parks do you recommend? Or I like disc golf. What do you recommend? What do you have? I like going rafting. What is a really great? I want to go off grid. What are my options? Because we have such a wide variety of parks within our system that we can really appeal to a wide variety of interests. And that's what makes Josephine County Parks really special.
All right. Well, Josephine County Parks been our primary topic here. And I assume that we'll probably talk a little bit about the fair as we continue this. But right now we're going to take a little pause. We'll be right back after news at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Grants Pass. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress right here. If you have a question or comment for our guest today, Tamara Martin, the number is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you grill our guest today. Tamara Martin here. Let's see. We've been talking primarily about parks. She is the Parks and Recreation Director. We may talk a little bit about the upcoming I almost went back to Alaska.
Josephine County Fair. That's where we're at.
Oh, brain cramps. What can I do? So you do have a little bit to do with that, I understand.
Yeah. So the official title is Recreation Director.
Oh,
and
okay.
So underneath that, I do have the Parks Program as well as the Fairgrounds. And the Fairgrounds is actually how I came into the county.
That was your initial job,
wasn't it?
That was
my initial job.
And then you did such a good job, you got parks too.
That's what happens when you do a good job. They give you more. No, I love the fact that these departments are merged, and it has been such a really great experience doing that. But we do have the Josephine County Fair, and it's hard to think about that, especially when your forecast is talking about rain. But
you've been working on it since what, last fall?
Oh, it starts the week after.
Yeah, exactly.
It does, yeah. But I'm actually really excited. The biggest thing that I got to put out to everybody, because it's going to surprise everybody, even though I've been saying it, the fair is earlier this year.
It's a week earlier?
Yes. It starts July 30th, and that is going to throw everyone off. So why did we move ahead? That's the number one question, is two things. Number one, we had ended up on the same weekend as Douglas County Fair, and that was really becoming problematic for us getting vendors and entertainers and this whole skew of routes and all of that stuff that kind of goes into building the fair. So being on that same weekend was rough. But the primary reason why we went ahead and pulled the trigger and made that move is we really wanted to bring in a new carnival company. And the in order to do that, we had to move a week ahead and to get somebody that was free. So we're really excited about the new carnival company. And you know, it's kind of hard to imagine a fair without a carnival, but carnival companies really suffered through COVID. And that industry has just taken some big hits, and there are not a lot of carnival companies left anymore. And so getting somebody that is near enough to call it a route and come into our community, we're considered a smaller fair. And so it's a tough sale sometimes to get a carnival company here. But the fair board is just really committed, really wanted to make sure that, you know, that was a big part of the feedback that we were receiving in the last few years, is they wanted us to step up our carnival company game. So that's why we did that. So July 30th through August 3rd, officially it's the first weekend in August, so it won't always start in July, but I do know that that is going to affect people.
All right. Let's see. We've got a call coming in here. Let's say, good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guests? Hello. Let's try that again. Good morning. You have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, I hear you now. My only question is, and I can take the answer off the line here, is how does this all affect back to the 50s? Thank you. Bye.
All right. Good question. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah.
Tell me about Back to the 50s.
Absolutely. So excited to have Back to the 50s on our fairgrounds. I mean, that we're just so happy to be able to support them. And this won't affect the Back to the 50s. What we're going to do is we're going to go in and prep early and have everything set and ready to go. And hopefully when the Back to the 50s crowd comes in, people will go, oh, fair's next week. Look at all the decorations are up.
So you got a busy couple of weeks in a row.
Well, yeah. Well, the month of July itself is going to be a pretty decent month. But yeah, I know. So we are thrilled for Back to 50s to be on our ground. Happy to support them. Happy to welcome them and help their event grow in any way that we can. They're a great team to work with.
All right. What do we expect to find for Back to the 50s on the fairgrounds?
Cars.
Cars, good. Cars, that goes.
Yeah. Rogue Valley Classic Cruisers Club is the one that, of course, that puts on that event. And we supply this space. And I had a couple of conversations. I know they really love the new gazebo that just got finished. And so this last year, they had some music in there and dancing. And I would imagine they're probably going to expand on that. And then the other thing that we're really committed to, just to make sure that to have that space, is we create that cooling room. So we use the arts and crafts building is what we call it, but set up for tables and chairs and air conditioning so people can step out of the heat and take a break and eat their lunch and get back out to look at the amazing cars.
Ah, all right. That's all coming up here. You don't have any word on any cruises or how they're going to handle it this year.
I know that there is a dedicated group that has been trying to bring back the cruise for years. I don't know. I haven't heard any official announcements. I know they're trying. It comes down to...
It'll go through the city.
Yeah, yeah. It's manpower is what it comes down to. It's a lot of people.
It's amazing how many people it takes to put that on.
It is. And, you know, trying to do that with, you know, just a half a dozen, it doesn't work. You need 100 people. No. It's just the reality.
Easily. All right. Well, so back to the 50s is the week prior to the fair. So
Correct. The
fair's happening and with a new carnival company coming in.
Yep.
And I think that's certainly a plus if that's what all the people have been saying. Been a little disappointed in some of what I've seen on the carnival section.
Yeah.
I'm a ride guy. I like to ride.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, and you know, I think we bring in a company, we try, we go off of recommendations, but you know, let's be real. I want to shout out to Boatnik and Active Club and Davis Amusements. They're a phenomenal carnival company.
So is it Davis that's coming in?
No, it's not. But they've set a high expectation for
our
community.
It's a high level. Yeah.
And I've tried for years to get them to come back, but we're just not in their route any on that time of year. But, you know, so we have some big shoes to fill. I'm really excited about this company that's coming in. They're called Midway of Fun. They they have a lot of newer rides and games, and you know, he's a growing company, and so I think we're in a good spot with them.
All right. And of course there's going to be a little entertainment. Tell me about the entertainment.
Yes. So we are going to be kicking off.
You're very proud of this one, aren't you?
I am. Okay. I am. So we are going to be kicking off this year with a Challenge of Champions bull riding event in the arena. And that's how we're going to kick off. In fact, our fair theme this year is called Buckle Up. And we are going to be on Thursday night. We have country music artist Rodney Atkins is our headliner, and Ned Ledoux is going to be opening for him. And Ned Ledoux is Chris Ledoux's son, and he has been out there.
Both very recognizable names.
Yeah. He's been out there making a name for himself. He's got that great. I mean, this is a country concert. It's definitely going to be a country concert. And so I'm really excited to kind of get back to that space. Another big piece, of course, we have the youth livestock auction, which is a huge part. Let's be real. The kids, the animals, the auction, all of that's the heart of the fair.
That's fair.
That's fair. That's exactly why we're all there. And so, we are actually going to be moving that auction to Friday night.
Oh.
Yes. So, that's going to be in the main arena, and we're going to be moving that to Friday night. And so I haven't announced my Saturday and, you know, Sunday. And
you're going to keep some secrets again, aren't you?
I'm going to keep a few secrets. Yeah. I do that. One of the other things I'm really excited about, I've been trying to get for years. We have, Paul Bunyan logging show coming. Uh-huh. And so they, you know, climb the poles and run on logs and chop things down. And I think that's going to be a really neat, fun family entertainment.
I would expect that that's something that the parks could put together here as an ongoing Paul Bunyan situation here to pull people off I-5 to go along with the Rogue River.
I would think so.
So you can put that in your hat.
I think my insurance person just had a heart attack.
How long has it been since we've had bull riding in the fair?
Well,
we had... Is that a boy from the Midwest group with rodeos?
Yeah. So we had a rodeo in 2019, and we had bull riding as a part of that. And so, and it was just a packed crowd. It was phenomenal. But COVID, you know, just changed the dynamic of everything. And so it's taken this long. Things are really starting to kind of come back in that tourism and industry. So it took a lot for us to get them here, but we're really excited to have them.
All right. So lots of things coming up for the fair. And once again, beginning first weekend in August.
Yes. July 30th.
July 30th.
I know. It's going to be hard to say.
Yes.
July 30th.
All right. Well, congratulations on the move. I think everything that we're hearing about is positive and good for certainly Josephine County. Volunteers for the fair.
I am absolutely looking for volunteers for the fair. It, you know, just to give you an example, really, I only have about 4 staff members that, including our grounds, that work on the, that work for the fairgrounds. And we're all part-time with the parks department. We're all intermingled. The fair takes hundreds of volunteers to pull it off. And we have some amazing dedicated people, our superintendents that help us align up judges and, you know, get the thing. What makes a fair different than any other festival that exists is that a fair is built out of the community that participates in, right? So it is the fact that you're bringing in your kids' arts, or they're, somebody's dabbling in photography and they want to, you know, see how they compare to other people. It's those things that really bring a community together. And so a very big part of everything that we do in building our plan is community engagement. And so that when you get there, there's things for your family members to do. We have the fair favorite food cook-off, you know, and that's an adult and a child. And so we do all of these things to really get people to participate. And that's what really kind of sets us apart from it. Anything else that's happening that is festival related. But it takes people. And, you know, there are some just amazing people that are so dedicated to continuing the fair, not just the tradition of fair, because that's so important, but transforming the fair to be relevant today and creating those memories for those next generation of fair goers. And the fair industry as a whole needs to do that, because if no one really understands the fun of, you know, your kid painted a rock, well, you can enter that. And I tell you what, that your kid Johnny is going to be thrilled when he gets a ribbon for that rock that he painted on a rainy afternoon. And so there's just all of these different things that become core memories. And that's what we're working on.
You really get excited about the fair.
I do.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sorry.
Sounded like you also love being there. Is there a fair association that you're a part of nationwide that you deal with? And are some of those things that you've talked about on their agendas also?
Absolutely. So we are part of the Oregon Fairs Association, which is very much a part of legislation. We are working hard. One of the things, again, our county fairgrounds does not receive any general fund. Money has been talked about and the lack of for years around the fairgrounds. And, you know, how do we keep the lights on? And so the Oregon Fairs Association has been really working hard to really educate the communities, educate the legislators on why we are so important to our communities. And it's not just about the fair itself. It's about what we provide for our community year round. And so, we do quite a bit of lobbying with that. And then I'm also a part of, our fairgrounds, a part of the Western Fairs Association, and they take up on some of the bigger, broader issues. I've kept it pretty into those two. There's all sorts of national type stuff, but, with our fairgrounds being as small as it is, those two associations cover all of our issues.
All right. Well, all I can say at this point is good job so far, because once again, the fair is completely self-sufficient in terms of funds. And we're not done yet, folks, but we do have to take a little break.
U.S. Cellular.
I confess that was operator error, but I'd rather talk to Pamela anyway here. Tamara Martin, our recreation director.
Correct.
Recreation director. Okay, we've got that correct now. Some of the things upcoming for the fair here, what are we planning for?
Yeah. So, the fair itself, you know, we kind of covered, but, you know, we do operate year round here at the fairgrounds. That's kind of how we, keep our lights on and those bills paid. And so, you know, some things that you can experience in the course, we have Winners Growers Market, which they're there every Saturday morning. We have, Jordan's Circus, which is going to be coming, let's see, March 20th, and they're a really big deal in the arena itself. We actually have Circus on Ice coming. They're coming in March as well.
Circus on Ice.
This is
where are you going to get the ice?
I know they transform. I don't know how they do it. I was going to go look last time and I ran out of time. But they transformed the pavilion and create an ice rink in there, and they do this incredible show. And so we have been lucky enough to jump on and hit their circuit. This is the second time that they've been with us, and so we're excited to have them back as well. But yeah, so we have a lot of events that are coming up. We have some, you know, quite a variety of things that we do, from the vendor type sales, fundraisers. We have our Foster Kids has their annual fundraiser coming up this Saturday. Some masquerade ball.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a biggie.
Yeah. And so we're thrilled to, you know, have them on our grounds. We do such a variety of events. We have everything from senior computer classes to memorials, to weddings, to entertainment for the community. Like, there's this wide sphere of, if you can think it, probably make it happen for you. And so, you know, we work hard to try and make sure that our events are as successful as they can be on our grounds. And, you know, we're happy and to help them. And so, you know, there's just a lot of things going on. Really, the best way to keep in touch with us, if you're not a social media person, well, if you are, let me start there. If you're social media, we're really active on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. So whether it's parks, whether it's the fairgrounds, you know, you can always know what's happening. If it's something more along the lines of, you know, you're just like, yeah, I don't do that, our website is a phenomenal resource for all events that are coming up. We keep that updated regularly. So if it's an event that somebody else is doing, just happens to be on the fairgrounds, or if it's something like the fair itself that we're making announcements on. So there's a wide variety of ways that people can stay in contact with what we're doing.
All right. Website. What's the website address, or is it through the county?
So, yeah, you can get to it through the county, but it's JosephineCountyFairgrounds.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah, I don't like to make it difficult. And then JosephineCountyParks.com. So you can get to either of those websites, but both of them are on the county. So if you forget, you can just go to JosephineCounty.gov. So.
All right. Now, I know you have a corps of volunteers that come out for the fair every year. And I don't know how big that corps is, but I know you always need more. And there's a transition there. Some people will go away.
And new ones
come in. And if I want to be part of the fair right now, how soon should I contact you, and how should I go about that?
So I would say just, you can either email, you can send me a message on Facebook, you can give me a call. However you're comfortable communicating, I'm happy to accommodate. And the most important thing that I need to know when somebody calls in is, what do you want to share with the community? Sometimes people are like, I'll just answer phones or whatever. Okay. But sometimes it's like, no, you know what? I really have a passion for my gardening and growing things. And, you know, I want to be a part of the horticulture building and that space, you know, or I'm an artist, or I'm a canner, like whatever it is. You know, we also have the RC cars, which is something that's up and coming.
Ooh.
And so, you know, if there's something out there that you're just really kind of passionate about, we want to hear it, because if we're not already having it a part of our fair, we want to find the space for it, to see if you're that passionate about it, somebody else probably in the community is as well. So I just, you know, don't hesitate. And some people are like, hey, I'll empty trashes, whatever. And we like those people.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Just point me in a direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Talking about the fair, tell me about vendors and how soon do I need to apply?
Yep.
What do I need to provide you with? What's the best way to contact you if I'm a vendor? Lots of vendors out there right now.
Lots of vendors. Yeah. So applications are actually out online right now. JosephineCountyFairgrounds.com. And that's always the easiest way, right? If you're savvy like that, you can fill out the form right there online and it gets emailed directly to us. Or if you would much rather do paper. Now, something is different this year, and so let me put this out there. The fair office itself is currently closed, and my fair staff and I are in the parks office. So, but we're still happy to help. But if you'd like to come in and talk to us, come by the parks office. We're working on that final merge into one office.
Where's the parks office?
The parks office is actually just on the side of the fairgrounds. It's 125 Ringette.
Oh,
so,
okay.
it's kind of on the other side of the buses, if you're a little bit familiar.
Okay, there you go. We'll find it then.
Yes.
We know the general areas.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a new change.
Okay. So we're down to about our last couple of minutes here. What do we need to take away from one parks, one the fair? This is your last 2 minutes to really inform people and build some fire.
Yeah. I just would like to, I think the most important thing that I wanted to communicate to the community is there are some really great things happening in our county, and our parks department, they're dedicated, they're working hard. They absolutely love what they're doing, want to be here, and want to make sure you have a positive experience. And so communicate with us if something's not right, we want to know because we want to fix it. And so, and then, you know, just when you see those volunteers out there, yeah, just maybe say thank you because they don't get a lot when they're cleaning a lot of toilets. And then, you know, for the fair, the most important thing is July 30th. It's going to sneak up on you. I know it is. July 30th is going to be the kickoff of Josephine County Fair this year.
And the fair theme?
Buckle up.
Okay. All right.
And people have been very creative what they've added to the end of that.
I'm not going to ask.
No, probably not.
It's always a delight to have you here, but you always put a positive spin on everything that is happening here. In these times that we're in right now on a national scene or a local scene, it's always nice to hear what's going on in the recreation department.
Wonderful.
Tamara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. I'm Chuck Benson reporting.